This is a podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Stand by for the call to order, or else we'll be joining the meeting already in progress.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting this January 22nd, 2024. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Marney.
I'm here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle is absent this evening. Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mayor Prews.
Here. Would you please rise if you can, and we're going to have the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance.
We are humbled and grateful for the opportunity to serve the Fairbanks community and be a part of something greater than ourselves. As this body once again addresses city business, may each member gain wisdom from the perspectives of others, and may deliberations be thoughtful and fair. Amen.
Amen.
Ms. Tidwell, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Clerk, ceremonial matters.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Police Chief Doopy, are you ready, sir?
Not quite. Deputy Chief, we got something at the office. He's coming.
Oh. Why don't you stand up and tell us about Officer Zhang?
Yeah, come on up.
You have to really speak into it.
Well, I know.
We've done this once or twice. So, as you guys have probably heard me talk about Officer Zhang, he comes from APD's lateral that we just hired. He's been on for about 2 weeks now, week and a half. Yeah. So, Deputy Chief Wellborn has been introducing him to our retail theft program. He's taking that on while Corporal Wellborn has been gone. So I think he got 21 last night from Walmart alone over the weekend. That he's been 22. So, yeah, he's
Walmart. Target-rich environment.
So, well, that's everything that happened over the weekend that they submitted today. So, but he's very familiar with that, and I think he's excited to get on the road and start doing other types of calls other than those thefts. But. Oh, it's okay. He can take his time.
Okay.
Welcome aboard. Thank you.
And, well, here we go.
And the man of the hour.
Did you sufficiently verify?
Yes.
Excellent.
All right. See the red. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for coming. You know, I had a chance to sit with him. When we talk about report writing and use of force, and it was as educational. I see that with a lot of laterals. I learn something every time I sit with them as well. When they come from other departments, you know, and that's so I really appreciate you being here. Sorry about the breath.
I'm sorry.
So, other than that, I'll have you raise your right hand.
And if you swear after me,
I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the State of Alaska.
The Constitution of the State of Alaska.
The Charter and Ordinances.
The Charter and Ordinances.
Of the City of Fairbanks.
Of the City of Fairbanks.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
My duties as peace officer.
My duties as peace officer.
To the best of my ability.
Get a photo with him and the chief, please. Three fine looking guys and me, really. Madam Clerk.
We are at citizens' comments, oral communications to the City Council on any item pertaining to city business that is not up for public hearing. The total comment period is 30 minutes and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
First up, we have Arlette Eagle Deville. Arlette, coming up, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Pruse. I have been a front row witness to the Polaris Annex demo, and this spring, summer, fall, I'm set to see the tower come down. This I am very thankful for, because at the end of this project, I'm set to have some prime real estate in downtown Fairbanks with the hopes of some prestigious development going on next door. I don't feel the need to go into details of what has already transpired, as that is in the past, and overall, I am tunnel vision focused on the future of this project and the viability of Lavelle's Tap House. At the end of summer 2023, I stopped by the mayor's office to schedule a meeting with him. I really wanted to go over the experience and take notes of what's to come for the next phase. He wouldn't meet with me. He had his secretary call back stating if I had questions, comments, or concerns to voice them to the engineering department. I did just that. I spoke with Tim Zinza towards the end of summer, and he said he would put my concerns in writing and get them to the appropriate parties. Not hearing anything back, I began writing a weekly email to Tim Zinza, Bob Pristash, and CC'd Chris Miller, the adjacent building owner. I wrote essentially the same email every Tuesday for 4 weeks, beginning December 5th, 12th, 19th, and finishing up on the 30th with absolutely no response from the city's side. I was simply asking for a sort of plan for this next Polaris demo phase. What will parking be like? Will there be a north face exit for the space I rent? Will I be allowed to have an outdoor space that was promised to me the first annex demo go around? Not only have I been inquiring with the city officials numerous times, but I'm in constant communication with the building owners who have been unable to get concrete answers as to how access to and from the building is going to be. I've had several groups wanting to rent out the Tap House space for dates into the summer, and I don't feel comfortable setting these dates up if the space itself and the accessibility to it is going to be vastly different. I'm losing a vital employee this summer because she simply cannot count on the money she's been making traditionally at the Tap House up until summer 2023. It's not just my own livelihood. I have a small but amazing group of people I employ. One of them has worked with me since the Tap House opened. For the past 8 years, Matt Austin has been my main full-time employee who counts on my business to support his life. My business is unique in the fact you must come into the business to make a sale. I'm not allowed to do to-go orders, online sales, or deliveries. I count solely on customers coming through one of the doors and sitting down for a quality experience. Last summer, we saw a deep decline in customers from the ongoing Polaris project that left Matt, my main guy, down almost 20% on tips from preceding years. At this very point, I have no immediate contact for questions, comments, or concerns. I can't get anyone to talk to me about the project and what this looks like for my business. I'm really here to ask for help, help from the city I was born and raised in. I own 2 businesses within the city and pay monthly taxes. I own 2 homes within the city limits and have parents that have owned a business downtown for over 30 years. We, as a family, have given a lot of time, energy, love, tears, and created safe spaces to our unique community, and I can't even get an email back. It's a sad place to be, and I hope you, as the governing body of the City of Fairbanks, can help me get on the right path. Just as I've been instilling in my 7-year-old daughter, communication is key to success.
Is there any questions for Ms. Arlette Eagle Deville? There is no extension of time. No, we don't do that anymore.
I have one more sentence.
I have a question for her. Mr. Clayworth.
Have you been in communication with anybody in the last week or two?
Just today, the building owners did get some responses that they've been waiting for, and my only point of communication on this project is them. So today, I have a few things that I've been made aware of.
By whom again?
The owners of the building that I rent from.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mr. Marnie.
Possibly copy the council on all your correspondence, please.
I will do that from now forward.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Lavelle. Next on the list, we have Victor Booberge. Mr. Booberge, you have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Victor Booberge. My address is on file. Well, it's only been about 5 months now, and the lights are still all out over there on the old Steese Highway. All I can say is, thank God it's not payroll checks for the city employees, because I think it would get fixed a little quicker. But anyway, it's nice weather out there today, and we're getting ready to begin the pothole season here coming up pretty soon, and I don't know, is there a way that the pothole can be put with a better material that lasts a little bit longer? I just noticed that basically the potholes are in the same ones, they just reappear in the same pothole. They fix it, it rains two times, and then that pothole is back open again. Is there more of a permanent material that can be used to fixing potholes to begin with? And if there is, you know, I hope that the city will go ahead and pay the extra, if it's extra, to do that. But there is one nice pothole over on the west entrance of the Fred Meyers over by the airport. Just when you get ready to leave there, there's a nice good-sized pothole. I hit it a couple of times already, so maybe they put that on the first of the list for when the sun comes out in the spring. Anyway, I noticed they've been doing a real good job on the snow, and I hope they keep up and keep the sidewalks plowed off for the pedestrians so we don't have any incidents with that. Because I notice that occasionally when the sidewalks aren't cleared, then you have various people out walking in the street. And that's one of my biggest fears I've ever had since I moved to Alaska, is hitting somebody alongside the road on a dark night. Anyway, you guys keep up your good work, and I'll let you know how the lights are doing next time I come in. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Booverge? Thank you, sir. Next up is Mr. Scott McCray. Mr. McCray, please state your name for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor Pruess, council members. I'm Scott McCray. I reside at 2965 Westgate Place, and here to speak in my capacity as President and CEO of Explore Fairbanks. I haven't had a chance to address this body since the revisions to Ordinance 6268 were first discussed, and I understand there were some questions raised at Tuesday's work session that I wanted to have an opportunity to respond to today. And the main one being, it was asked, what is Explore Fairbanks' stance on this? And I'm here to tell you that we 150% support this ordinance. No one believes more than us that, even if it's not something that's required of us by our funding entities, that we have a fiduciary responsibility to conduct an annual audit to demonstrate to our funders and our stakeholders at large, ensuring both transparency and accountability of the organization. And prior to 2020, this is something we did do on an annual basis. As I mentioned at the work session back in November, we've had what can best be described as some snafus or anomalies since the pandemic, primary one being staffing shortages for both us and for our accounting firm that prohibited us from getting those last 3 years of audits completed. Rest assured, moving forward in my capacity as President and CEO, this is not something that will happen again. As far as an update, Mr. Marnie mentioned that at the work session that the process that's underway. So the update is back in December, we did send out RFPs to 7 different firms, both local and statewide. Only 2 submitted. All the others said they couldn't take it on due to the scope of work as well as staffing issues. After a review of the 2 proposals by an executive committee and then forwarded to our board, we did land on local firm Wilson & Wilson to come on board as our accountant. So the plan is that our 2020 audit, which is near completion, that will be continued to finalize by Alliance CPA. And what Wilson & Wilson strongly recommended that for 21 and 22, that they conduct a financial review as opposed to a full audit. That could take place over the course of the next 2 months and would reduce the time for a full complete audit for 2023, which would be completed by April, early May. And it's my understanding that Mrs. Murphy did talk to Ms. Gilbertson about the process they were looking at, and she was in agreement that that was a good way moving forward. Yep. But I'll keep you apprised, this council apprised, as we move forward. And of course, Mr. Marnie will be privy to all those conversations that take place at the board meeting. So just want to give you an update there, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. McCray? Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Dusty, we're going to save you for Mayor's comments. And is there anyone online, Madam Clerk?
No one has signed up, sir.
Is there anyone else in the gallery who would like to have Bryn come on up?
Good. I almost think
you'll morning. Have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Bryn Butler, housing coordinator for the City of Fairbanks. I just wanted to give an update on our Ray of Hope rental assistance grant that we were awarded back in October. I wanted to let you guys know that we have successfully mitigated prevention of homelessness on 7 families in Fairbanks. So far, that the amount spent has been around $21,000. And then we have the rest of it to spend by March 8th. That's, you know, not coming up too soon. I'm really trying to, you know, prep myself for that. Also, I have 11 families / individuals that I am working on their grants. I mean, their applications now. I'm still waiting on, feedback back from landlords on, you know, the required paperwork that they need to submit in order to get it forwarded to our grant manager. Besides doing that, we also have Project Homeless Connect coming up next Tuesday, the 30th, at J.P. Jones Center. And we have at least 20 agencies signed up to provide services to those in Fairbanks that need them the most. We will have free haircuts from Beyond the Mirror Salon. Breadline will be providing lunch and... I think that it will be a very productive time, and I'm really excited for the agencies that stepped up to be there and, you know, offer services to those that need them. And I think that's it. Thanks.
Is there any questions for Ms. Bryn Butler? Ms. Rogers?
Always. Yes. Bryn. It's bbutler@fairbanks.us is my email, which is probably the best way to communicate with me because, yeah, I'm working lots of grants. So, and if anybody's listening or going to get the news or any of the above, any landlords that are waiting for confirmation from me, I promise I'm working them in the order in which they were received. And there's only one of me. So thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much, Bryn. Greatly
You're welcome,
appreciate
sir.
It. Is there anyone else in the gallery who would like? Mr. Vandenberg. I apologize for, you're on the list, sir. I apologize, sir.
That's okay. No worries. So, good evening. My name is David Vandenberg. My name and address are on file. And I sent this material by email today, but I guess this is my version of duplicate. But it's our 2023 annual report for the Downtown Association of Fairbanks Community Services, and attached to the end are the names of all the donors who give to the Community Service Patrol, the Emergency Services Patrol, and are aggregating and then donating back to the city for this year came to $110,280. So I just wanted to bring that to the council's attention. And, if you'd had time to look at the annual report, or if you do in the future, you know, you'll see that we count work with the city, both through the city council and with the administration among our ongoing projects and successes. So thank you for that, and I think to put a point on it, you know, the city's putting real time and energy into the downtown plan, and then of course the revisions to the bed tax that you made to create a little pot of money, a puddle of money, to apply for the purposes of the section, the bed tax grant. for tourism and economic development. So that was a success as well. But as much as anything, I just wanted to show you that this is a board-approved document of our year in review, and then it's got all the donors and the total on the revenue budget for the ESP. So thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Vandenberg? Mr. Clearworth.
Yeah. David, thank you. Looking at the names, it's a pretty good list. I know you've struggled for a year or two, but it seems like it's getting easier. Is there more response to the letters you put out now? And
I don't. It's getting easier only because there's a bit of churn every year. For you know, if we lose five donors, we usually can pick up five more. But the real steadfasts are the hospital, Foundation Health Partners, and then the borough with the Health and Social Services grant, and then Doyon LTD. They're really the backbone of it, and the rest of it, we just work around the edges to get the rest.
Yeah, again, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marnie.
You know, David, I'm not privy, but have we recruited more staffing for the ESP?
That's a city contract.
I know, I don't. Are you aware?
I'm not, but my understanding, there's just one ESP ambassador, and I'll be asking some questions later about, you know, if the city is, I assume, not locked into a contract for the full value of what they're not getting. But
okay, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Vandenberg? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. Is there anyone else in the gallery who would like to give testimony of 3 minutes? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Before we go on, Ms. Rogers, a few months ago we had a unique issue with the phone call bombs, and that's when we decided to adhere specifically to our rules. That way, in case it ever happens, we don't deviate. Now, when a person has 3 minutes, you can ask any and all questions after that and get any information you want out of them. I sit next to the attorney, and he gives me unique looks when you raise your hand. And anyway. Madam Clerk.
Let me
yes.
I was just saying, I apologize. I totally had forgotten about that. And I just have been notorious for wanting to give people their full opportunity to read what's in front of them.
It is not easy for us to cut off after 3 minutes a citizen of Fairbanks. It is not easy. But due to prior circumstances, okay.
I will not only recall, I will remember.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk.
We are at the approval of agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Mr. Ringstead, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Clearworth, does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Seeing none, is there any objection to approving the agenda as written? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of December 18th, 2023. It also approved resolution number 5098, a resolution amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services by adjusting ambulance service fees, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved resolution number 5099, a resolution awarding a contract to NC Machinery Company to provide a motor grader in the amount of $432,119, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6272. An ordinance amending the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW, Local 1547, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It accepted the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of November 1st, 2023, and approved the memorandum regarding temporary firefighter. We're back near the top of page 2 under special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license application for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is for license number 5051, doing business as Asiana Restaurant.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest on the alcohol license renewal application? It's from Mr. Marty, second by Mr. Ringstead. Is there anyone, citizen wishing to speak to the alcohol license renewal application? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council, discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Klewer?
Yes.
The motion passes 6-0. Madam Clerk?
Item B of special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following marijuana license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. I'll read the license number and doing business as names into the record. Some of them have the same DBA, so I'll also read the license types for those ones. License 10278, Good Sense LLC, retail marijuana store. This is the retail on Davis. License 10279, Good Sense LLC, marijuana cultivation facility. License 14874, Good Sense LLC, this is the manufacturing facility. License 26251, Good Sense LLC, this is the retail on College Road. License 16006, Arctic Bakery LLC, this is a manufacturing facility.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest on marijuana license renewal applications? Mr. Ringstead, second by Mr. Marnie. Is there anyone in the chambers, in the public, who wants to give testimony on this subject? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council, any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passed by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
We're at Mayor's comments and report.
Ms. Aldine, would you please come up along with Mr. Spencer? Now, I've known these two people a wonderful time. Thank you, Mike, if you could get him a chair for Mr. Spencer. You have two people in front of you that are exceptional. They're going to tell you a story. Aldine, why don't you start? You're with the Clay Street Cemetery Commission.
My name is Aldine Kilburn, and I am chair of the Clay Street Cemetery Commission. And I would like to say this man here made last year's 163 markers placed an incredible experience because he brought, I don't know now how many at this point, but he brought, and we got 47 markers placed between 9 a.m. and noon. It takes normally two of us an hour and a half minimum to place one, get one marker set in and get it glued. And his crew, let me tell you, they were awesome. Last year with the 163 that we got in, it's because we have six people currently on the commission who can work. And I'm talking as I age that I noticed this summer compared even to last summer that lifting one of those 60-pound markers was just a little bit more difficult. And my real concern is that because we've asked for another 10,000 capital supplemental for more markers, we have 47 coming. At least they haven't been shipped, but it's with the money that you extended to us last January from the 50,000 that we hadn't quite been able to get enough research done. So we have 47 coming. With the money that the bed tax gave us, we figure we can do another 40, which puts us as 87. But there's over 500 markers still that haven't been placed because first the research has to be done and we all pay for the research materials because we utilize it for the Genealogy Society as well as for you and for people that, you know, simply want help. Ancestry itself is over $409 a year right now. MyHeritage is $359 a year, and it just goes on with the newspapers and everything else. But with the 10,000 supplemental, we would hope to get another 34, and that's assuming that as prices keep going up, that we might have to pay. We've been doing 250, but it's started to creep just a little bit over that. So we've set at 300 that that's where we're hoping we won't reach that, but so we might get more than 34 this if we got the $10,000 supplemental. The whole issue comes down is that we have people that are out there, and I'll give you an example. Bill Beislein's grandpa, Charlie Mack, is buried someplace in the Eagles, but he doesn't know, and we don't know exactly where. And we would like to do, there's about 20-some people that we simply have no idea how we will be able to figure out where they're buried specifically, except in a general area. We would like to do a plaque that at least recognizes these people are buried there and maybe a little bit of background on them. So that's kind of where I'm at. Do you have any questions that you would like to ask me?
I'm going to now introduce Mr. Spencer here. I've known Mr. Spencer for a number of years. And Mr. Spencer works out at Eielson with the Alaska National Guard, Air Guard, I'm sorry, refueling wing. So he gave me a call last summer, and he goes, David, we got to do some community service. Do you have a project? I laughed. I said, oh, yeah. So I introduced him to Aldine, and they nailed it. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to, you know, when we went through the budget, Public Works had in their $10,000 for this. And I said, let's get through the budget, see what we have, then we'll revisit this. So now it's time to revisit it. And he brings the labor to get all this done before Memorial Day. How many are you looking at this summer again, Aldine?
Well, without the $10,000, it would be 87. If we got the $10,000, it'd be 117. Okay. And hopefully, if we continue to get enough money to buy at least 100 markers, maybe in 5 years we'd have the cemetery pretty well, other than the real unknowns, marked.
Mr. Ring said your question, sir.
First, thank you, both of you, for what you have done and are continuing to do. Okay, so I'm trying to do the math in my head as you were talking, Aldine. So we've done, well, how many are there total in the cemetery?
Over 2,500.
Really? Okay, and how many have we gotten done? Well, and how many?
When other people, used to be that one person did this, maybe they got 20, 25 done in a year. Since I've been on with the help of Janet Richardson and Amy Stratman, we've managed to really increase how many we've been able to put in. The $50,000 that you gave us in capital money, well, it would now be 3 years ago, but that's where the real boost came.
The process is what happens when I was on the Clay Street Cemetery Commission is you determine whose markers you're going to get done, and you bring them out, and you order them. And then we get like 10 people out there, and I always worked with Jack Wilbur. We had a great time. But what you do is you're digging a square and removing everything. Then at the bottom of that square, you're putting pavers and you're putting gravel to have it balance perfectly so it's just about an inch above the ground. Then you're replacing the dirt around it and compacting it. And so it takes about 20 to 25 minutes per each headstone. And so we have the labor. And so we're going to use them wisely. Sorry, Dusty, but we're using you wisely.
So I'm trying to figure out how many do we have left to do?
Right now, 522 are that we know of. There are unmarked ones out there. There are more if we just could figure out where they're supposed to go.
You've got 100 in the works. You've got 500 more due after that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, I'm kind of sensing we're putting in a little bit of money each year that this is kind of a long-term plan. I mean, I think we need to do this. It's important in our history of our community to take care of things like that. But I guess I'm trying to think, what do we need to do to get the job done?
The biggest issue is the research time. I mean, all three of us, Amy and Janet and I, probably spend as much as 40 hours a week just doing research. And maybe that's only on one person before you finally find what you're hunting for. Janet has been really successful the Jesuit archivist at Gonzaga University has been able to give her some information that we were able to get with some of them that we'll be ordering, because the church here doesn't have the records, and these are just notes that a priest has written, and then they've gone, when the person dies, they go to like the archivist at Gonzaga, basically, if you're on the West Coast, I gather.
Also, it should be understood. Go ahead, sir.
So you can't physically get all of them done until you've done the homework, too. So we should be then planning on several years of giving you, I don't know, what do we have in the budget this year, 10,000 or something? I don't remember what it was, but, I mean, this is an ongoing, we're going to do this for a number of more years.
Where we've gotten the money in the past is from the bed tax, and this year we got $12,000. So that means we can do 40 markers, basically.
But at that rate, I mean, you're talking a 10-year plan.
Yes, at least. But because we're asking for supplemental, we have 47 coming because of money that you gave us last year. But again, you get the research done and you put in the order, and it can take 6 to 8 months to get them back here.
You've got, with the money of our current budget that just started this last week, 2 weeks ago, you've got enough
87
to get through this year.
We would have 87.
And get them ordered and paid for. And then come fall, you're going to give us another list for next year's budget.
Well, we have 47 that are coming. Those are paid for. They're from last year's money. Right. The money that came from bed tax was a little over 12,000, but that basically would be 40 more. So that gives us 87 that we know we're going to place this summer. If you give us 10,000 more, that will be another 34 for sure. And maybe we can squeeze. Part of it comes is that the bases that David talked about, the price keeps going up to make them. They cast them here in Fairbanks, but just the labor and the cost of his materials when he makes those bases keeps going up.
Excuse me.
And I mean, they've gone from $13, they were up to $17 this year.
But if we have $10,000 gets you 34 of them and you've got 500 to go, we got a long ways to go.
No, because that makes a total of 117 that we will get placed out of that little over 500.
So you got 300 and some to go.
Right.
10,000 gets you about 30 of them.
Yes.
They've been putting in there 20 to 40 for the last 10 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. And also, records management. The Elks have no records for us. The Moose has no records for us. The Sons of Norway have no records for us. The Eagles have no records for us. The Pioneers did a great job. They nailed it. They came in and they did their own burial plaques. They were great. So we're going through our records that have gone through floods, location changes. The cemetery was closed, I believe, in 1976. So it's unique, but we've had very good people working on this to make sure that we know whose plaque we're putting where. Are there any other questions for Aldine or Mr. Spencer? He speaks a lot, as you can tell.
I just can't say enough for the help that he gave us last summer. And hopefully he can do it again this summer.
Thank you both. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Spencer.
I'd like to say a couple things. This summer, I had the great opportunity of me and a dozen of us fellow guardsmen that, you know, we're local civilian or local military members. We're full-time active guard, and so we're basically, you know, we deploy and do other things like that. But so we thrive in honor and pride, right, within the military and in the community. And so it was great for us as a group to come back into our community and help Aldine and their cause, and the mayor that connected us to be able to place these headstones and also learn more about our community and the history of Fairbanks. We have members from, most of them are local, but a lot of them are transplants too. And we're all here for a reason. Everybody loves Fairbanks and this community that brought us together. And they were more than joyous to come and help and also learn about Fairbanks' past And by placing these markers and speaking with Aldine and the members that were out there, it gave us a lot of insight to where the community came from and how it was founded and a lot more things like that. And I think a project like this holds a lot of value and roots to our community that we should hold on to and definitely keep pushing to make it better and remember all the founders of this community.
Well put, sir. Well put. Ms. Rogers.
Well, I'm trying to follow on Mr. Ringstad's comments there. Are we looking at an actual request now of another $10,000? Is that what's on the table here? And that's
my understanding is that was brought to you at the work session.
We're going to be putting an ordinance together on that.
Yeah, but I just want to clarify what the questions were. So as far as supplemental funding, I personally, and I appreciate your remarks about Fairbanks and how we all feel about each other and that the activities are going there. I would vote for helping to create supplemental funds on an ongoing basis for whatever your needs are, because as you say, you are going to be able to investigate other possibilities of persons who's there with unmarked graves and all that sort of thing. The $10,000 isn't going to go very far, is what I'm getting at. I would be pro whatever it takes to make this project go to completion. So whatever you decide is completion, just know that you're supported.
I appreciate that. And I would only say that another 34 will take us probably close to 200, maybe 300 hours to even get the research done on them. It's a lot of work.
Seeing no more questions, thank you both very much. Greatly appreciate you being here. Madam Clerk.
Council member comments.
Mr. Clearworth.
Well, thank you for the presentation. Mayor, just a question for you. Pretty soon we're going to be doing our first budget amendment. Is it the intention to go ahead and put that as a part of the capital budget to make that amendment, or what would you prefer?
I don't know yet. I'll take input from you, sir.
Margarita, when are we looking at our first budget amendment? Do you have enough yet, or...?
We will have the first budget amendment reading in your first February meeting. Okay. We should be closing the books next week, which means that we'll have to have a budget amendment to accept all of the encumbrances.
Okay. Well, does the council want us to go to a work session again to pick a number, or do you want to just add the 10,000? Okay. Why don't you just do that, Margarita, put it in there for the budget amendment.
You know what? We'll put together a budget amendment, and then it can be amended on the floor.
Okay. Tonight we passed Resolution 5099, which is buying a new motor grader. That doesn't seem like such a big deal, and it's a resolution, but it is a big deal because, 23 years ago, we couldn't have done anything like that. We didn't have a capital fund. We couldn't fund tombstones or whatever. But back then, we just had the stars aligned, right, and the people on council. Jeff Johnson was one of the main ones and some others that said that we really need to dedicate or have a dedicated capital fund because the days of Juno bailing us out were gone, and you couldn't just go to our legislators at the time down there and say we need money for equipment. So when we do our budgeting, the only one I remember doing on a periodic basis was for the police department for five police cars every year on a rotational basis, and we made sure that was in there. But beyond that, and the dedication of the garbage fund for the garbage equipment, that was it. There was no other capital fund. So it is nice to see that over the years that's grown and what it's done to try and get the best equipment we can for each of the departments. So, like I say, it just seems like a resolution, but it's kind of a big deal.
If I can answer that, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Your budget on that was $475,000. We approved $432,119. So came in about 7.5%, 8% under budget. And I'll be given Mr. Jacobson a call and thanking him for that. Every dollar helps. I'm sorry, Mr. Cleaveth.
That's fine. The last item I have is we had a work session tonight on the city's permanent fund. Just some interesting highlights there. That fund started in 1997 with a deposit of $73 million. And the structure we had envisioned then was extremely strict and conservative. So we had to get $3.7 million to offset the payment in lieu of taxes we lost from the sale of the utility system. And so we couldn't gamble much with it. But as the years went by and the fund started to build, you could loosen up the investment requirements so that we could, in some sense, gamble more but make more of a return on it. And you can see, as you follow it down here from 73, now it's $141 million, that it's paid off somewhat. Also, over the years since its inception, the city has actually put in $26 million in addition to that with the MUS lease and the city contributions. On the other hand, we've taken out $125 million. That's a huge part of our budget each year. And we're, you know, very, very fortunate to have that. One of the things that I think all the council members here over the years is the property taxpayers pay for just about everything at the city, but the property taxes only generate about 34% of our budget. At the borough, I was reading in the paper today, and I think you did the article on their stuff. Thank you for that, Jack. Property taxes are you know, the vast majority of what they bring in. And it's always been, I think, neat on the part of the city that we have such a varied revenue stream that you can, you know, tell people that the property taxes are actually a minor part of the entire budget that we have now. But it's been a success story. Right now, we're drawing out about $6 million a year. If we didn't have that, it would have to come from somewhere. And anyway, that's it. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Ms. Rogers.
Well, I guess my first comment would be it was wonderful to witness this swearing in of the new lateral hire. And it was also wonderful to see the camaraderie that you've already established with each other. It was very, very evident. And so he's not an outsider. He's definitely one of us now at this point due to all of the hospitality and welcoming that you've extended to him. So thank you for that. That's a big part of the success, I think. The Diversity Council is up and running and going strong. The forum problems don't seem to be the crux of everything, and the group is inviting all the previous members of that committee to a special gathering here at the next meeting, which is on the second Tuesday of each month. So we're looking forward to that. And I continue to serve on the statewide committees for Alaska Housing and four different committees here that are all similarly named that have to do with housing availability and the programs that are available to us. And right now, the legislature is meeting with great gusto, trying to solve all sorts of problems. And I have my TV turned on to KTOO for Juneau. I've been doing that for years. I remember Pete Kelly went, "Oh, June, you don't really do that, do you? Do you watch those?" And I go, "Yes, I do." But anyway, they're all working full time to make sure that we can go forward with all of the requests of needs in our communities. They're big. They're here. They're always present, and the work is being done. And Yuri, who is our representative on site there, is keeping us well informed with all of the bills that are there and up and necessary for us to keep watch on. And we're meeting on Wednesdays. 3 to 4 every Wednesday between now and March 24th or something like that, I think, that we'll be meeting.
And I would say there's some other situations here that had to do with us tonight. This is too obvious because this is what we just got through speaking about the graveyard and the history. I just earlier this evening was talking with several of you here in this room about some ideas that I presented to the mayor back when Jessica Cryer was in your office, and I was talking about how the Alaska State Council on the Arts director had been hired by Santa Monica to be a cultural director of cultural affairs for Santa Monica, and I said that'd be a great idea for us. And we have had a whole lot of things that have taken place since then, and we haven't gone forward on that. But then listening to some comments that Mr. Ringstead and Mr. Marnie have been having on their work on positive change for us as a community and operations for us, I thought, well, this is a good time to maybe bring that back up again and maybe work together in a cultural umbrella, so to speak, for our community, because there are so many things here that really need to be cohesive. And I think that the cemetery is a wonderful part of all of that. We need to have some way of regularly being responsive to the needs of all of these groups, activities, projects, persons who are working on our community in ways that really solidly define who we are and how much we care about each other. And so I think there's lots of possibilities for us to go forward in that way. And I thank Aldine for bringing all of the information that she regularly provides for us. But to have this presentation tonight is really, I think, special because we have radio listeners hearing everything that you're saying. And once again, I say if you need volunteers, there's a great place to go, a very interesting place, too, to be part of all of that history. And I just want to say thank you for the meeting tonight and the options to speak about a whole bunch of things. Thank you.
Ms. Chidwell.
Just to add on to what June said, I also watched that KTOO, the TV. And for me, I think that really gives me an understanding of the things our interior delegation is working on. Today there was a finance or a Senate session on something, and you really get a lot of context to what's going on down there. And for anybody that's curious, and also just reaching out to our elected officials, so approachable, and anybody that has concerns with anything, I would just really encourage them to use that, because they are there to listen, and I always feel like they appreciate getting feedback from our community. So, and welcome to our new officer. That was great, and it was quite interesting to listen to the report from the cemetery commission. I really had no idea that there's that many grave sites there, and I think that's a amazing project to be working through those. Hopefully, I would like to help, like when you guys get out there this summer. I'm really interested in that. So, thank you.
Well, I'll start out with Officer Zhang. It blesses my heart that the hard work that we've done with the lateral hires and everything else is finally working out. And for your staff, all you three especially, thinking out of the box for bringing back retired officers. I think Officer Elsie was the beginning, but bringing retired staff that wants to come back to work and working around all the different issues to make sure they can, it's a miracle. I'm very proud to be part of the council that was part of that.
Before we close, I'd like to thank Mr. Merritt for being here. It's had an active 2 weeks. He handles things very well. Madam Clerk.
Okay, we are at unfinished business, ordinance number 6271, an ordinance reestablishing the Fairbanks Fire Department Education Reimbursement Program for Recruitment and Retention, introduced by Baron Prus. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 6271? From Ms. Clearworth, is there a second? Ms. Tidwell, is there any citizen wishing to speak on ordinance 6271? If so, please come forward, state your name, area of residence for the record. You will be given 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, public comments are closed. Council, any discussion? We had a good work session on this. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to adopt ordinance 6271, Mr. Ringstad.
Yes.
Ms. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Clearworth.
Yes.
Mr. Marnie.
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell.
Yes.
The ordinance passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
We're at committee reports and final council member comments.
Mr. Ringstead. You had a committee meeting today.
We're going to continue to look at it and work with our folks, but I'm pleased with kind of where we're headed with it. And it's looking, I think it's important we look at the long-term goal here and stable revenue source so we can plan budgets with it.
To interject, I'd like to thank you for serving on the committee again. The people that do it, I believe in continuity, and we have good continuity. I rely on that on many of the different groups that we have. So thank you for serving on that, sir.
Well, I appreciate the folks coming and doing the work. I mean, as I stated in there, that we, you know, this is a long-term piece of our budget, hopefully forever. And when we came in with a bunch of new council members, I really didn't know much about it. You know, getting more information, getting updated information is important to us so we understand what we've got and how to manage it.
Excuse me. Today I asked them a couple questions. One was, how long have you been managing our account? The answer was from 1997. I asked Ms. Phillips, how long have you been with this firm? She said 18 years. I asked the other person how long he'd been there. 8 years. That continuity is what will make this successful over the long term. I really believe that. And when they gave me those answers, I really appreciated that. So, Mr. Marnie.
Well, I would like to thank Mr. Ringstead for being part of that committee. I know through knowing him that whatever he thinks or decides, I have no issue with. So I can sleep better at night. And as far as discretionary fund committee, we had a wrap-up meeting, good hour or so. We made some adjustments to the actual application to make it more friendly. That's our goal, is to make it more friendly and easier to apply to hopefully eliminate any rejections. And so we'll have a follow-up sometime in February. There's a doodle poll out now that we'll get together in February and finalize everything. And then I guess maybe that will have to come to council. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell.
Nothing further.
Ms. Rogers?
I think I took all my time on the last go around there.
Mr. Clearworth.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just one item. We advanced ordinance 6272 tonight. One of the things over many, many years that we have tried to do is the deputy city clerk's position would be to get it into essentially management. And never been really successful at making much headway there. So I am not sure who negotiated all this.
I'd like to say it was me, but it was Mr. Sanders.
Mr. Sanders, you did the impossible. So, you know, it's great. That makes sense, you know, with people that are in here in executive session and all that. It just was always an awkward situation, and you've solved it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
All right, council has my quarterly report, and I just wanted to, since we're on the airwaves, just announce that the Citizen Engagement Academy application is open. If you're interested, please come by the clerk's office or apply online or give us a call. And that's a free academy, so you can learn all about the city of Fairbanks. Does the city attorney have anything to report?
Nothing this evening. Just thank you for your service, as always.
Before we go into executive session, I want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to my mad cow disease cold. Appreciate your patience. Mr. Clayworth, would you please bring us into executive session?
I move that we go ahead into executive session to discuss one item, Fairbanks Firefighters Union Labor Negotiation Strategy.
Is there a second? Mr. Ringstead, any objection? Seeing none, we'll take a 5-minute recess.
City Council met in executive session to discuss the labor negotiations for the fire department. No official action was taken.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Ms. Tidwell, is there a second? Mr. Ringstead, any objection? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 8:23.
This concludes the podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Please visit us at www.fairbanksalaska.us.